Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Would you rather be on a team with Batman or Starfire? This is Systematic Geekology. We are the priest of the geeks, and we are going to be taking a look at this question in more in a very special episode today. And I am one of your geekologists, Kevin Schaefer. I am here with fellow geekologist, fellow DC superhero nerd, Christian Ashley. Pleasure to be here with you today, Christian.
Oh, yeah. Great to be here with you, Kevin.
So as I hinted at in the intro question, so we are talking about Justice League versus Teen Titans. And so this is part of our Finding the Good series where we pivot kind of two opposing fandoms against each other. And, you know, this one, I think this is actually one I pitched a while ago when we were planning out this series. And, you know, I thought this would be a fun one because it's not technically really opposing fandoms here in that it's not like a DC versus Marvel thing or Star Trek versus Star Wars, that kind of thing. These are two superhero teams that exist in the same universe and that many people love. But there's also, you know, a dedicated passion of like, oh, I really like this one, or I really like Teen Titans, or I really like Justice League. So we're going to kind of get into that. We're going to explore the origins of both of these teams. I'm really excited for this one. Christian, yeah, I know you and I are both big DC fans, and particularly with the animated series and the comics, we have a lot to talk about today. So I'm very excited. So before we get into that, this is an audio only episode. So if you're listening on Podchaser, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please rate and review the show. It really helps us a ton, and we really appreciate your support. And also, you know, this is an audio episode, but remember that we do have a YouTube channel as well that we have exclusive content on there. So head over there too. If you did not know that Systematic Geekology is on YouTube, we have a lot of great stuff on there, including comic book catch-up, manga mustard, a lot of special features, and a lot of live shows there too. So ton of fun. But thank you all so much for your support. Well, Christian, before we get into the main topic today, what are you geeking out on lately?
Yeah, real quick, geeking out on. My dad and I last night watched a horror movie 2023, I think, called Wild Eyed and Wicked, and I am not a fan.
I almost want to see it, though, because sometimes I love a good bad recommendation, because I want to see if it's as bad as the person says, or if I may have a different opinion, but sometimes I love a good B-movie in the background, particularly in the horror genre. They can be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I always like that. And now I do want to provide then a recommendation for a good horror movie. I saw Weapons on Friday night, which is from, yes. Oh, so good. I will be very surprised if you don't like it, because I thought it was like, you saw Barbarian, right?
Yes. That's on my list. So, I need to see that. I'm ready for it.
Okay. So yeah, that like Barbarian, I thought was excellent. I saw that years ago, and that was Zach Riker's first feature film. He was in a sketch comedy series before that, and now he's making features. And Weapons, I think, there's already a ton of buzz about it. About what I love about it is that it's not an easy one to pinpoint in terms of like what is it, you know, trying to say. What are the messages? I like movies like that. They can be interpreted in different ways. And also, it's just really good storytelling. Much like in the sense of Barbarian is told from in broken into three acts and told from different perspectives, this one also does even more characters. So it has overlapping storylines and overlapping, you know, like angles there. And different character points of view, and I really liked how it all came together. It was perfect Friday night horror mystery. I'll say it's a movie about kids who go missing one night, abruptly, like they're not taken, but they're, you can see in the trailer, like they voluntarily are a walk out of their homes one night, and we don't know why. That's all I'm going to say, because the less you know about the movie going in, the better. It's just one you have to experience. It's highly entertaining, and, you know, wonderfully acted, wonderfully written, directed. So highly recommend that one. And the only other thing I'm going to say, not my usual like thing I guess to recommend on this show. I mean, I do watch like a fair amount of prestige TV, but I did finally watch The Pit on HBO, which I'm sure you've heard about. And I've never really even watched any medical dramas before this. But I heard all the buzz about it, and I've actually watched a fair amount of the Emmy nominations this year, so I wanted to check it out. It is excellent. Noah Wiley is phenomenal. The whole cast is great. It plays out in real time, so each episode is like an hour of a shift at an ER center. It's wonderfully made. It's from the same creators as ER, which, like I said, I've never watched, but they were able to reunite for this and make a more realistic medical drama. So, not light escapism, but if you're in the mood for that and you want to catch up on some of the Emmy nominations before that, I highly recommend that. So those are my two geeking out lately. So, awesome. Well, Christian, let's get into our main topic here. So very excited for this. So Justice League and Teen Titans are obviously huge superhero teams within the DC universe. I have a big background for them. Christian, if you want to start just talking a little bit about your background with each team when it comes to the comics, the animation, and I'll get into mine as well, and then we can kind of look at some of the history of both of these teams.
Yeah, my knowledge first comes from the DCAU. We've done multiple shows on it before. We're going to do Justice League and Justice League Unlimited later on, more than likely. And of course, we have to do the Teen Titans 2003 later on, but that's its own separate thing. And it was like, because I knew Superman, I knew Batman, I knew generally who these people were. But then actually, seeing them on screen, seeing Wonder Woman, seeing the Martian Manhunter, John Stewart, who I was not familiar with. I knew my Kyle Rayner. I knew goodness gracious, Hal Jordan. I even think I knew who Guy Gardner was. But being introduced to him was pretty great. Then later on, I would get into the comics, but that would start because of the next one on the DC side of things, that being Teen Titans. And I was, of course, introduced to them primarily through the, I think it's 2003 cartoon.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
I think Justice League came out like 2000 or 2001. It was airing while Teen Titans started.
Yeah, because then Unlimited was like 2004, I think.
Yeah, because there was a whole bad embargo thing. Where certain characters, because of rights licensing stuff, nonsense.
Right.
Even though DC owned them, they couldn't show up on certain shows. It's its own thing, politics, capitalism. Yeah. So that was outside of Dick Grayson. That was my introduction to all these people, and it's like, man, this is amazing. My dad, being a comic collector that he is, says, "Well, I have the entire new Teen Titans run. You want to read that?" It's like, yeah, and got into that. So that's why I came into this mess.
It was very similar for me. I know if you've listened to the show, you've heard me and Christian talk about the DCAU multiple times. We did an episode on Superman, the animated series recently. Same for me. It was my bread and butter, Batman, the animated series, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. I cannot tell you how many times I've watched those. And then, of course, Teen Titans, which, like you said, was its own universe. But I was also a devout fan of that show. And I even had one of my favorite toys as a kid was like a Titans Tower. So it came with like the figures and it was great. It was from that animated series. And so that was my introduction to a lot of those characters. Obviously, I knew Robin, but then that was my introduction to Cyborg, Beast Boy, Starfire. And like you as well, those shows were like the catalyst for me to get into the comics later. I probably didn't start reading comics I didn't really start collecting regularly until like late high school when New 52 started, because at that point I was starting to get some money. But before that I would get mainly graphic novels and, like on birthdays, Christmases and stuff like that and here and there. And so, and then I also rented a lot from the libraries when I could. So it was mainly like you know, collected editions here and there, but then I was collecting regularly once New 52 started. But I was already very familiar with these characters from all the cartoons and, you know, different forms of media. So, you know, both Justice League and Teen Titans were instrumental parts of my childhood. I think with Justice League, I mean, it fit into that DCAU canon. So it was this rich universe and rich mythology. And especially, you know, like I love the main Justice League series, but I think I liked Unlimited even more because you got all these other characters and they did them so well. So you would have an entire episode just about Green Arrow or Hawk and Dove and all these characters that I got to know. And that was fascinating because, I mean, you know, I loved the film building the relationships with, like you said, Jon Stewart, Green Lantern, and Flash, Wally West, and Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Hawkgirl. But then once they expanded it, I was just, you know, mesmerized by just how vast this universe was and how many characters there were. And we were getting so many more of those than in any other kind of medium. Because at that point, you know, it was pre-MCU. There weren't, you know, a ton of superhero movies yet. That really started when I was, you know, late middle school. That was, 2008 was Iron Man and Dark Knight. So that was, you know, when it started to really take off. But before that, you would have a superhero movie here and there. But I was mainly devouring the animated shows. And so those were huge for me. And then Teen Titans was really fascinating because, again, this is separate from that canon. It's its own universe. There was never really any tie-ins. But it was really interesting from an aesthetic standpoint because it had a lot of anime influence. It wasn't an anime, but it had a very much an anime influence, much like Avatar Last Airbender did, which I'm also a huge fan of and also grew up on. And so Teen Titans, what I loved about it most was that these, you know, Justice League, you viewed them as godlike beings. Like, these are adult superheroes. They're, you know, literally watching over the world from a watchtower in space. They're, you know, it was so fantastical, so mesmerizing. With the Teen Titans, these characters felt more like me at the time. These were teenagers that were, while they had superpowers, they had more of a Spider-Man connection to them in that they were, you know, just these outsiders with superpowers. And they were also teenagers who loved eating pizza and playing video games and hanging out with each other. And so I was very much drawn to that. And I was really drawn to the diversity of the characters here because you, not just in terms of powers, but just in terms of personalities, backgrounds, you know, you have obviously Robin, who's the, you know, kind of like every man, straight man, leader of the group, trying to hold it all together. You had Cyborg, and who was one of my favorites. I would say Raven is probably my absolute favorite, but I love them all for different reasons. Cyborg is this, you know, big personality of a dude who has a robot body, and, you know, he says booyah a lot. What I like about Cyborg a lot is that he has the blend between humor and serious. He could be really serious, but he could also be really humorous. Beast Boy was the total class clown. Starfire, really perky and kind of like the, I would say, like, if you're comparing these to, like, Breakfast Club type characters, she's like the Molly Ringwald, the cheerleader. And then Raven is very much the emo of the group who has this really dark origin, but is also able to establish friendships with the others in the group. So I love Teen Titans. And, you know, that cartoon was very formative for me. And like you as well, I later got into the Marv Wolfman and George Perez run, which is one of the most, if not the definitive run of Teen Titans. It certainly redefined the characters and is really the reason that they've endured for so long. So that was a fun fact, too. I also got to interview Marv Wolfman years ago at NC Comic Con. That was a really big moment for me. That was pretty awesome. I was interviewing him specifically about a Superman book that he did at the time called Man and Superman. But, you know, we were able to talk about some of his other works as well. So that was huge. So that's also my background with both of these teams.
Hello there, listener. This is Evan Garcia, and I just wanted to jump in here to remind you and to let you know of our Facebook groups and our Discord server. These are great communities where you can post and share memes and talk with the hosts, and we have votes and some polls for future episode topics and fun interactions with our host. So just wanted to remind you that we are focused on community with you listeners, and we love each and every one of you guys listening. Thank you, guys.
And before we get into kind of, you know, taking sides here, so in terms of history of these teams, so Teen Titans, like I said, they debuted in 1964 in an issue of Brave and the Bold. But for a long time, they really weren't, you know, as iconic. They were the sidekick team, right? So all the sidekicks of the Justice League. So Kid Flash and Robin and Wonder Girl. So, and, you know, typically they even their names signify, you know, like, oh, not Wonder Woman, Wonder Girl, or, you know, not Flash, but Kid Flash. So they were just kind of the sideline sidekick heroes that, you know, really didn't take off initially. They weren't nearly as popular. And I don't think a lot of creators really wanted to work on them. They were getting, even Marv Wolfman, when he got assigned the new Teen Titans run, he was initially reluctant to take on this book. I think part of it was the kid sidekick aspect, but also he wasn't sure if he wanted to take on a big team book like that. Little did you know, I'm glad he did, because both him and Perez redefined these characters, introduced Cyborg, Starfire, Raven, some of the greatest comic characters of all time, and really solidified them as a superhero team of their own, not just the kid sidekicks. So that was really a turning point for Teen Titans, was the 1980s run of the new Teen Titans by Wolfman and Perez. And it really culminated with the all-star arc that is the Judas Contract. That was a, you know, critically acclaimed and commercial storyline that is still revered today, has been adapted both. I still am kind of amazed it was adapted in the animated series, because it is a dark one, to say the least.
It's changed a lot.
Oof. Like, I mean, we've talked about it before, but, you know, with the DCAU and other cartoons at the time, they did not hold back. I mean, these were like shows aimed at kids, but they dealt with some of the most mature and dark storytelling that I've seen throughout my life. And I've seen a lot of horror movies. So, you know, I mean, the Judas Contract, and then, you know, a lot throughout Justice League too. There were, you know, so many storylines that really were questionable for a young audience, but I guess Christian and I turned out, I guess, remotely okay. I don't know.
Enough. You know, I got a master's of divinity now. I mean, maybe I'm okay. Hey,
exactly. I have a college degree as well. I'm employed. So I think we turned out okay. But
no jail time.
No. But that, and also the Batman Beyond Return of the Joker traumatized me as a kid in probably the best way possible. Again, brilliant storytelling, but oh my gosh, that was something. So, yeah. But yeah, so New Teen Titans was a big turning point for Teen Titans. And then from that point on, I think they were really a cultural touchstone. And that's what led to the animated series, other adaptations. There's also the live action show Titans, which, I mean, we could do a whole episode on that. I don't know. Did you ever watch it?
I tried. I couldn't into it. It's not edgy nonsense.
Yeah.
It's edgy adjacent nonsense.
Yeah, that's fair. That one is really interesting, just because, like, I remember when it came out, like, I don't know if you subscribed to the DC app back when that was a thing. I held on to that as long as I knew it wasn't going to last, but I held on to it as long as I could, because I loved that the comics and the TV and the movies were all in one place. And I really enjoyed it. And it was I'm glad it at least lasted 2020, because that was a huge COVID comfort for me. But, you know, I remember when Titans came out, when the trailer dropped, I thought it looked awful. It looked like edgy fan fiction. You know, I was like, this is going to be awful. Then I watched the first season and I'm like, okay, this is not, you know, terrible. I mean, it has some bad parts, but it was interesting enough. It's, you know, I mean, yes, there are much better Titans adaptations. I think the show kind of went off the hills after that, but the first season, I don't think is that bad. It's, you know, they had some interesting ideas, and I liked the cast overall. So it's, you know, it's something. It's not the Teen Titans cartoon, but it was an interesting adaptation. So that's kind of a little bit about Teen Titans. Christian, do you want to give just a little bit about kind of how Justice League came into play and, you know, any kind of key points from it, that team's history?
Yeah, Justice League has a huge history across DC. Obviously, what do you do when you have a bunch of superheroes together and you want to make more money? Well, you have them cross over with each other in their own, you know, comics. But then you want to make even more money? Have them keep doing it, but as a team. So we have, you know, the Justice Society, I think, comes first in DC history. I haven't read much of the 40s and 50s stuff because, well, I don't have the money for it. And that's its own separate issue. But then, you know, have everyone come together. You know, it's a simpler time. So the stories, you know, aren't going to be as what we would expect of today. But, you know, they're okay. They are what they are. It's one of those things that they needed to walk so they could run later on. And then, you know, through what happens with, you know, DC in the 50s, they, you know, remain more on top of the superhero scene compared to Marvel. Then Marvel comes in the early 60s, Lee, Kirby, Ditko, all the tremendous stuff they create. And DC's like, okay, we got to like revamp things a little bit more here so we can compete better. Because I think they were still in the lead for the most part, but there was enough that they got a little scared. And so they give the Justice League back, even though they hadn't really left, if I remember correctly. It was like, okay, let's like give them an origin story for how they form a team. We got good old Starro the Conqueror here, one of the greatest covers of all time, of them going it down to face this giant starfish creature with an eye. Typical goofy science fiction superhero stuff, but you know what? It works. Then later on, as they're revamping things, friends are changing. We get to the 80s and we have Justice League Detroit, which outside of, I think Martian Manhunter joins initially. Other than that, it's like all these hip new young characters that some of which have names we probably shouldn't be using. And it is what it is. Then you have like Justice League International, where you've got all these other characters that are more fit the Justice League kind of mold. You know, your Batmans, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam now because of licensing nonsense, Martian Manhunter. And it's more of a comedy thing, but it's also bringing our superheroes together again. To the point in the 90s, the Justice League itself was kind of seen more as like a joke. It was like, do you remember the Detroit run? You remember when we were making it was a critically acclaimed series, but like, oh, they're just having fun together. There's no like serious story, even though that's a gross exaggeration of what actually happened in the JLI. We get into Grant Morrison, and what Morrison decides to do is they want to bring everyone together again. Our Trinity, the main characters, Flash, you know, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, and more, and have them face against super threats again. And that's exactly what they do. Great critically acclaimed series that runs for a very long time. And then brings more street cred back to the Justice League's name. And I am not as I left DC for a bit because my dad stopped buying them in like the 90s because he wasn't big on the art and everything as things were changing. So I know, you know, different, you know, teams come in for them. There's a goodness gracious. Dwayne McDuffie did a run. I'm fairly
Dwayne
certain.
Yes. Dwayne McDuffie. And yes. He was also a key creator on the animated series. Yeah.
Yes. So I enjoyed some of what I read that he did. And currently I am not caught up to the Justice League, but they just had Justice League Unlimited book. And is there another one? I'm barely getting into DC now.
I was telling Andy on Comic Book Catch-Up last week, like, a lot of the main DC Marvel continuity, I really haven't kept up with at all. But I've really much more been enjoying the Absolute Universe and the Ultimate Universe. So I'm also, I've seen there's been an Unlimited book, you know, and I guess the other big thing was, you know, I mentioned New 52 earlier. That was a big one where Geoff Johns was writing Justice League again. So that was a big one. That was like, I've got the team from that on my shelf in figures behind me. And so, you know, that was a big one. But yes, there's a lot of gaps there where, okay, yeah, it's still ongoing, but there's not that much of note. Grant Morrison and Dwayne McDuffie were kind of the big runs from early 2000s, though.
Yeah, the New 52 team I'm more familiar of because of the animated movies they made.
Yes, exactly.
You want to talk about some edgy nonsense that can happen in some of those. Some of those bring some edgy nonsense in.
It's fun. I'm actually gonna. There's one I'm gonna recommend at the end of this episode, so a little teaser there. But because like, oh, there. I mean, there. Those are. I mean, that the New 52 was really interesting because I know there were people who absolutely hated it from the start and declared. But for me, I mean, again, that was when I was actually getting into collecting comics single issues regularly, and so I was jumping on at that point, and that was a really cool time because that was around the time when Saga launched and Mark Waid's Daredevil. It was that was a really cool time for comics. But New 52, it was a very much more edgy tone overall. And yes, I like Rebirth much better. But New 52 also gave us Scott Snyder's Batman, and Wonder Woman was Brian Azzarello, and then there was, and I thought, yeah, Jeff Johns' Justice League. I thought started off, at least pretty decent. And then there was, his Green Lantern ended. Robert Venditti took over after that. There was some cool stuff that came out of it. So that's why I hesitate to, just write off New 52 as one, thing one way or another, because there were a lot of books in there and there were some better than others. And I think there were some that were pretty great, and it also had a prominent influence on, yes, the animated movies and also the DC, title all the different cinematic universes of DC, both in animation and live action. I have to remember which letter did they put there. It's like DCAU, DCEU, DCU. Now,
it's a madman's game and no one wins.
No, I will say, at least with Marvel, I know the MCU has had its ups and downs over the years, but at least it's always been MCU, from the.
And but say, anyway, the two, DC does a better game when it comes to the animated movie side of things.
Marvel is 100%.
Really like cutting themselves short by not getting into that media.
I could do a whole episode on that, and it is wild because they have done some good animation, like What If and stuff. But it is a little mind boggling that they don't put some resources for that. But that is another. I digress. But I do agree there. Justice League also has really interesting history. Again, there are characters who have come and gone over the years. And, one of the really interesting things is, for better or worse, I know some people hate this decision. Others are like, that's kind of cool. But in the New 52 run, they introduced Cyborg they reworked him as a member of the Justice League instead of Teen Titans. So that was a really big step. And he's remained a prominent league member ever since then. That's been the interesting thing is that because both of these teams have a lot of history and a lot of, decades they've spanned, well, you have to consider Teen Titans, those characters are not always going to be teenagers. So do they go on to the adult team, which is called Titans, or do they join the Justice League, And so it adds a really interesting dynamic. And I that's what I really do like about the Teen Titans is being able to grow up with them and really see them evolve has been really interesting. So, excellent overview there. Christian, now we get into the fun part of the show where, again, I know both of us are big fans of both of these teams. We're big DC fans, so it is a little hard to pick a side here. But if we're going to have to, because that's what we're required to do with this series, and it's kind of fun, we're going to pick sides here and kind of, say or share our points of which, superhero team we think is, I guess, superior, which one we kind of are going to root for in this discussion. So I am going to take the side of Teen Titans. Christian, you're going to take the side of Justice League. So do you want to start?
Kevin, he didn't just assign me that role. we talked about this beforehand. Like, he's not lording over me in any way.
That's true. I'm not like putting that on you right now too. So like, hey, by the way, you're going to take this side right now. You have no time to prepare. Go. That would be kind of interesting, though, if we did that. That'd be an experiment.
I guess I have to defend this now.
Yes. But yes, we did talk about this before the show and kind of decided what we're on. So, yeah, Christian, I'm here. So if you had to define why Justice League is the better of the superhero teams, what would you say?
Well, without me, you don't exist. None of you exist because you need me. I'm the OG. We came here, we established a footwork that you can play in a sandbox in, but remember who built the sandbox, who made things the way they are. You know what? I'm all for young heroes. you know, learning along the way, but it's time to grow up at a certain point in time. Spider-Man is great, but he shouldn't always remain, you know, in high school. He's got to go to college. He's got to, you know, graduate eventually with a degree, eventually, Marvel. But you know what? It's its own thing. And like, it's building off of a great history. And you've got the Trinity. I mean, there's a reason that term is thrown around here, because Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, they bring so much. You remove them and their influence from the DC, you don't have what happens. You're not going to have a Robin. You're not going to have a Wonder Girl. So much more. You're not even going to have Young Justice later on. But what needs to be done is, yeah, they started off rough. They were figuring things out. And obviously with 80 plus years of continuity, you're going to have different authors doing different things. But like, the collective idea of who these characters represent are so important to the fabric of DC as a whole that we need to look at them first, not only just because they came first. I mean, that's a stupid reason to care, but to see the impact that they have on everything. That when Nightwing is having an issue, what does he think? What would Bruce do? What would Batman do? What would Clark do? Because he spent time around them, seen how they've done things, and say, how would I do things better? How would I do things my way? That you can't have without them being taught by an older generation who made a couple mistakes and has learned along the way how to do things, so that the next generation comes in, they look, avoid this, do this instead. That's what a good teacher should do. And when they're being written competently, the JLA will be good teachers to younger generations, not because they're lesser, but because they need the influence of those who came before.
Very fair points. And again, it's hard to argue because, again, I do love both these teams. But again, if I'm going to have to pick a side, what I think defines Teen Titans and what I think that makes them really what's their greatest strength is the family dynamics between them. Because when I think about Justice League, as much as I love the team, I think of them more as reluctant coworkers. And they, you know, do what they have to get the job done, but they're not necessarily, some are going to be more friends, but a lot of times they go do jobs together, they go save the world, and then they go about their own separate business. The Teen Titans, they live together, they do life together. They're the ideal family where it's not only they have a job to do, but they are there for each other, you know, in and outside of work. And they, I love that family dynamic is their greatest strength. And again, I mentioned earlier, like I had the Teen Titans Tower play set as a kid, and that was, you know, such a prominent feature of the show and the comics. And I just love that really instilled in me the idea that, you know, you don't have to just, you know, do things be out of obligation. You do things out of love for each other and to support each other. And I love seeing the Titans go through all these struggles together and work together. And you know, we brought up Judas Contract earlier. So for those of you who don't know, and I'm not going to spoil the whole story, but it's about one of the Titans who betrays them. And it's this like heart-wrenching story. And, you know, Tara is, you know, affiliated now with their greatest nemesis, Deathstroke. And it's a heartbreaking story. But even through all that, Beast Boy and the others still have this love and compassion for Tara. And they are doing everything that they can to try to save her and try to, you know, and as much as they feel betrayal, that's the thing that guides them throughout, is they're always a family no matter what. And they're going to be there for each other, and they're going to be fighting for each other. I also have to say, Teen Titans have some of the, not that Justice League doesn't have great villains too, but Teen Titans have Deathstroke, Trigon being the father of one of the Titans. And that was such a personal connection there, where you know, and particularly in the Teen Titans cartoon, you knew, like I said, Raven is kind of the emo, you know, like likes to be more of a loner, has trouble initially forming a team dynamic. But we later learn that that is because she has a very tragic origin, where she is literally the daughter of a demon. And she has this destiny that she's trying to avoid, of being basically the bringer of the apocalypse. And she's trying to run away from that. And it's really the love she finds with the other Titans that helps save her from that. And I love that's the core of who the Titans are. So if I had to, you know, looking at, you know, while the Justice League saves the world plenty of times, yes, they were there first. But when I think about which is a stronger team in terms of, you know, what really empowers them, I think it's the Titans, because they are, you know, bonded to each other out of love, out of family, out of loyalty. And the fact that they, you know, hang out together and do life together outside of just saving the world, that really spoke to me as a kid and really made me fall in love with them.
You want to talk villains and you want to go in a fight between the Justice League and the Teen Titans, my friend? We're talking Darkseid. We're talking Eclipso. We're talking The Key. We're talking about Ra's al Ghul, Lex Luthor. Batman is his own worst enemy and his best friend. He almost brings down the entire Justice League because of Ra's al Ghul coming in and almost taking him down. You got the Queen of Fables. You got DC Editorial fighting against the Justice League itself, and yet they came out on top. You want to come with villains. Okay, sure. Yeah, the Titans are the winners here.
I love that you just named DC Editorial as a villain. That's pretty great. But yes. Yeah. No, I understand. Like, that was a hard one. There are some great villains here. But again, it's like with Trigon, and then with Deathstroke taking Terra on as his apprentice. Yes. It adds such an emotional catharsis to it. Yes, Justice League has some big baddies out there. But a lot of times, okay, they're just big bads. There's not that, like, you know, it's not like Darkseid is Superman's father or, you know, one of them has like this deep rooted connection to them. I think it makes it more tragic and again, makes the team more powerful that they can come through that when Trigon is Raven's father and they have to help her, you know, work through that. And they tell her that you are not your father. You're not, you know, the destiny that he's laid out for you. You can be your own hero. And she chooses that and it's beautiful. So that's where it's the emotional catharsis of their battles that I think makes it even stronger.
I will say, you made me think, I got traumatized twice by the whole Terra thing. My number one crush is in DC has always been Starfire, but like Terra was pretty close. And then the betrayal, it should have been built up a little better in the TV show. You know, that's its own separate thing. But I can see that looking back at the moment. It's like, no, why? You and Beast Boy were like getting along, like you were in love, right? It's like, no, it's just part of the grift. And then it was like when I read for the first time the new Teen Titans series, I was like, okay, well, surely they wouldn't make it happen here too, because I was young and dumb. And they broke my heart yet again. It's like, oh, how could you do that to me? And I'm trying to think of, is there a Justice League story where that has happened to me? There are parts of like the Cadmus arc where it's kind of, you know, like, is the team going to break up or anything like that? And you don't want that to happen. But I can't really think of a comics run. I'm not the most extensive in my DC JLA lore. So maybe there's something I forget about. Oh, Tower of Babel. I'll put that one out there.
Tower of Babel. Yeah.
As like something that could have legitimately destroyed everyone's friendship forever if we were actually not in a continuity where a new writer can come in and, you know, fix things up. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying like, if they just kept going based off of that, why would these people stay friends? You can rebuild the relationships and I'm glad they do because I don't want them to stay hating each other forever. But the idea that you have someone who does legitimately love you as a friend, but also knows what you can do and has plans to take you out, knowing what could happen if you go bad. Or, you know, someone mind controls you and there's no way to get rid of it. And then the villain comes in, takes those plans for his own ends and almost kills you all. Like, that's a huge, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like a grief that comes from something like that. You know, both as the characters in there, but as a reader, too.
Also, I know I'm kind of helping your argument here, but the Justice League storyline that really broke me, not from the comics, but in the animated series, the way that the original one ended with Hawkgirl's betrayal initially bringing Thanagar. The whole Star-Crossed series there, it was like three episodes. That is some of the most beautiful TV in the DC universe you'll ever see. Thankfully, they were able to continue that story and not leave it on that thread in Justice League Unlimited. But still, that, you know, John Stewart and Hawkgirl had this relationship and then that was a gut punch. So I know I'm helping your argument there, but I did have to point that one out because it is a great story.
What else? We both love these teams. Like, I think the wrestling term is kayfabe. We're going to break it. Like, we love both these teams.
We do. No. And it's the thing about this whole series we're doing. Like, yes, again, we're kind of picking sides for the fun of it. But the reality is that these are all fandoms we really embrace. It's not like there's one we're just like, trying to take down. We're, you know, we're still finding the good in it all.
Yeah.
Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and we really, it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
I know we're talking with Teen Titans a lot about, you know, the classic team of Starfire, Cyborg, Raven, Beast Boy, Robin, but another run that I really love is the Geoff Johns one from the early 2000s. So that had Connor Kent, Superboy. It had Tim Drake as Robin, Cassie as Wonder Girl. Who else was in there? They like Cyborg and Starfire were kind of like leaders at that point. And then Impulse was also there as Kid Flash. And so, you know, that was another one of my favorite ones. Again, what I like about the Titans is that they allow them to grow up. And so, you know, like at that time, it's like, okay, the original ones from, or well, not original, but the new Teen Titans from the 80s had grown up and become adults. So they're either they're leaders for the Titans or Nightwing's doing his own thing. And now there's this new generation of Teen Titans. And it almost makes me, you know, wish there was, I mean, I guess there are versions, but I want to see like a Justice League book where you have like, you know, all the originals as senior citizens and like advisors. And then they're advising that. So, you know, have Wally become like, you know, the Flash of the Justice League. I mean, I know obviously he has in points, but let Barry become a senior citizen, because it seems like every time they do a cartoon, a comic, yeah, the Titans grow up, but then the Justice League always remains stagnant. Like they're always in their 30s yeah. and 40s. So I kind of want them to see that happen as an experiment. See, like, you know, yeah, Justice League retired and then new Justice League, and see what that would look like. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You always have to have the Trinity there. But if they wanted to do something interesting, I think that would be a really cool idea.
Well, that's just dealing with comic books in general. You have comic yeah. book time. Like, yeah. I think on the Marvel side of things, the status quo now, it's always been like 13 years, I think, since the yeah. Fantastic Four first came on the scene is their thing. And I think yeah. for New 52, the idea was that Batman had been active for 5 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So it is what it is. Once again, it is, 80 yeah. plus years yeah. of continuity. You're going to have to accept the fact that that's a thing, or you don't. A Borg, you kind of do what Young Justice did as a series, where both yeah. grew up together. Like mm-hmm. you show them aging a little more in different yes. ways. And that's what you can do yes. in your own separate continuity. But comics proper, it's a lot harder to do that. So I get it.
It would be really interesting to see, you know, and like, again, it could be in an animated series being its own thing. But I want to see that, like, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman hanging out in a retirement home and advising this, that, you know, the like original Titans are now the Justice League. And then there's a new generation Teen Titans. I want to see that happen, even if it's a one off movie or something. I know Kingdom we're giving comes, James Gunn.
Kingdom Come yes, sequel win.
Right. We're giving James Gunn plenty of ideas, because I'm sure he listens to our podcast. And, well, you know, I would love one. To see that happen. Oh, yes, absolutely. Speaking of, they are developing a Teen Titans live action movie in that universe as well, which I'm really hopeful for. I believe it's the writer of the upcoming Supergirl movie is writing that as well. And that was one that James Gunn loved the script so much for Supergirl that, you know, he immediately greenlit her for other projects. So that's really exciting. Yeah. Very cool. But yeah.
So I was trying to think, and you probably know a little more than I, like actual fights between the teams, you know, taking the verses literally. I can think of yep. one in the Wolfman Perez run, which is way early on, where mm-hmm. I think it's when Raven is revealing a little more about herself, but she goes to the Justice League It's been like 15 years since
I've
read this comic.
Yeah, that's been a long time, but yeah. They do that. And there is also... Oh, go ahead.
And then it's like, because of the influence of Trigon, the Justice League is taken out a little bit, and then so the Titans can save the day. Yeah, I think I'm remembering that story correctly.
Exactly. So I was going to bring it up too, because you mentioned the like, you know, New 52 inspired animated universe earlier. So they did make a movie that I rewatched the other night. It's pretty fun, but it does adapt that storyline loosely, and it's called Justice League versus Teen Titans. Okay. I mean, the title is a little loose because it's not like they're fighting the whole time, but they do adapt that storyline where exactly it's that it's Trigon, you know, taking over the Justice League and pivoting them against the Titans. And so we could get into all the like ups and downs of that animated universe specifically, but I don't know, I rewatched that one the other night. It's not bad. I thought it was a pretty fun time, and it's Damian Wayne becoming part of the Titans, which you can imagine he hates doing because he is the most anti-team player there is. And then you have like Jaime, Blue Beetle on there, Starfire is the team leader, Raven and Beast Boy are all there. And then, you know, like I said, Cyborg in this universe is on the Justice League. And then, it's a pretty fun time. I was watching the credits too, and John Bernthal voiced Trigon in that, so that was pretty cool. But it's, before he was in every Hollywood movie imaginable, I guess he had more time back then to do some DC animation, so that's pretty cool.
There's one, it's not really a Justice League versus Titans, but it's kind of sort of one. I remember reading the early comics in the Titans revival in the 90s. I don't think 97 is when it came out.
That
I think it's issue two.
Yeah.
We have pretty much like every Titan ever on the team at this point in time, because they're kind of pulling what they did with, goodness gracious, Perez, and was it Jeff Johns in Avengers in the 90s?
Or am I making that up? I'd have to look it up, though. Yeah.
I definitely got one of those names wrong. Where like it's every Avenger ever for like the first three issues, and I think they kind of like condensed it after that. But there's a great... I think they're fighting against Hive. Once again, it's been a while since I've read this, so apologies if I get anything wrong. And Superman shows up to help him out. And Nightwing the whole time sees like every one of them looking up to Superman, and he's supposed to be in charge of the team. So what does he do? He doesn't like confront Superman about it or anything. And instead, he hides away, like still taking out some bad guys along the way, but where only Superman can hear him with super hearing. He's like, look, I appreciate you being here. You're a great guy, but I need these people to look up to me as their leader. So can you buzz off? It is essentially what he says, and in a nicer way than I put it. And Superman, hearing the wisdom in that, then as a good mentor, flies away. And what the other Titans see is Superman flying away. It's like, oh, well, he's not doing it because we're overwhelmed. He's doing it. Oh, he knows we have this covered. He trusts us that much. So it's a great moment of understanding between the two of them. So it's not really good for a versus episode, but it's a good moment of like showing like love for each other in different ways for the team. And I don't know how that Titans run in. I only read a couple issues of it, but that was a pretty good one.
Well, and I think it's kind of like the having Trigon take over the league is really the only way you can do really an actual like battle between the league and the Titans. Cause when it's superheroes fighting each other, I think if there's a reason to, like Civil War, let's say, all that, then it's justified. But if you're doing it just because, hey, what it would be like, it would be dumb. I mean, there's not going to be any scenario, I think, where Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are intentionally going to beat up the Teen Titans or, you know, go like head-to-head with them. It would just be dumb. So I that was a more interesting angle to have Trigon take them over, and then, you know, the Titans have to figure out how to work around that and defeat them and defeat Trigon. That makes it really fun. Okay. But yeah.
So you can stop typing, everyone. It's Kurt Busiek and George Perez.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Was on the title a little bit later on. So, you know, keeping all these things consistent, who knows, man?
Well, I mean, as a 90s, like, yeah, there's not a lot of runs I know at that time. It was more early 2000s stuff. But yeah. Very cool. Awesome. This has been a blast, though. I know with these, it's kind of hard to come up to do a definitive, and we're not really trying to in terms of like which is better. We just kind of like want to really highlight the strengths of both. And again, we love both of these teams. We love the DC Universe. And, you know, there are so many great runs from the comics and animated shows and movies. Well, I guess less movies in this or regarding these properties that we can recommend because there's a Justice League movie, but no, we don't really talk about that that much. That's a whole nother thing to get into. The theatrical one specifically, the Snyder one is its own thing, but the theatrical movie that is, that's yes. The thing that exists. So many great stories with both these characters. We love them. We love these characters. And yeah, this has been a blast talking about this with you, Christian.
Absolutely, Kevin. I had a ton of fun with this one.
Yes, absolutely. And before we get into, we are going to do a bonus question for our Patreon subscribers. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can stick around for that. But before we get, close out and wrap up here, do you have a recommendation either tied to either of these properties, or it could be really something different that you want to share?
Yeah, I have been out thrifting with my father and grandmother, and I happened upon one of the books in the Artemis Fowl series I've never read, which is The Time Paradox. Ooh. So I'm just going to recommend Artemis Fowl. I really enjoyed reading that way back in the day.
Oh, that's a good idea. I need to reread those. I don't think I ever read like the later ones, but that was one of my favorites in like middle and high school. I love that series, but it's been a long time. So excellent recommendation. I think I'll get those soon. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, and then I would say, I was going to recommend the Justice League versus Teen Titans movie, because just rewatched that the other night, and it fits in perfectly with this topic. But also, I really want to recommend that Geoff Johns and Mike McConey run of Teen Titans from the early 2000s. Again, that has a really great lineup with Superboy, Tim Drake, Robin, Cassie, Wonder Girl, Impulse, Bart Allen, and Cyborg. So, and Cyborg's more in a leadership role at that point. Nightwing's also in there at different points. And, that one, I love the art in it. It really had a big influence on the Young Justice animated series. So definitely check out that one. If you haven't, you can get the trades or, you can buy that on the DC Infinite app. So that's one I highly recommend. Awesome. Well, Christian, this has been a pleasure as always. And for our listeners out there, please like, rate, subscribe to the show. We really appreciate your support. And if you want to get extra features, you can support us on Patreon. And you can also check out our store online. Christian is wearing a Systematic Geekology t-shirt right now. So if you want one of those, we have merch available. You can go check out. But until next time, I'm switching off to this sign off now because I think it's cool. We started with the Super Fantastic episode. So remember, we are all punk rock, and be fantastic for each other.
Here at Systematic Geekology, we believe in a few things. We believe that there is freedom in Christ to like what you like. We believe that Christian nationalism is a heresy. And probably most important that I'm going to talk about today, at least, is that we believe the best place to spend your extra cash is on the Systematic Geekology merch store. That's right. This is a shameless shill for our own products. We go through Creator Spring, and we have a few great products on there. Me personally, I'm a big like black shirt kind of guy, muted colors. But there's nothing better to like throw a little something extra on there with like a black baseball cap, the dad hat with the Systematic Geekology logo on it. That's a classic. I just really think if you got a couple, $30 extra dollars, that's for us.
Hello there, listener. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Garcia. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We just wanted to come in and remind you that this episode is part of a bigger network of podcasts called the Anazal Podcast Network. We have great shows like the Whole Church Podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, and the Homily with Pastor Chill Will. The podcast has sermons from our host, Pastor Will. Great sermons every time. The Kung Fu Pizza Party is Brandon Knight showing his expertise and his passion for everything Kung Fu films. And he dispenses a bunch of wisdom. Great show. And the Whole Church Podcast, where Josh and TJ interview people from different denominations and church traditions to pursue greater church unity. It's a great podcast to see what other denominations are included. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening. See you next time.